welcome. This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. That's our voicemail number, toll-free nationwide. Nobody really uses it, but, you know, mentioning it is part of my shtick, so I do. I do get a lot of emails, though. Maybe we'll get those in later in the, half hour. Bit of a short show this week because a lot of stuff going on here at the HQ, the thing that we occasionally call Waveform Orchard Studios. Joining me in that studio today is Josh. How you doing?
Doing great. How you doing, Sam?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, a lot going on this week. Not only, I think we may have mentioned on the show a couple times now, we're in the middle of getting a house and final appraisal, and I started working today on stuff necessary to begin renovations for moving in. The house we're buying is not, as they say, turnkey, requires some actually significant modifications. I think it was last updated in 1969. So,
but it has a bar.
But it has a bar. It in fact has a padded Naugahyde bar.
I don't know what that is, sir, but I also know that it has a nice little studio, little stage.
A bandstand.
Bandstand.
Yeah, little band. It's a very interesting property. Not 100% we're going to get it yet. It's not over till it's over, but it's starting to look pretty good. Also going through a bit of a time here. Not the kind of request I often make on the show, but if you could send well wishes to Becky this week, I would appreciate it. She's losing... we have two cats, which you may have heard a lot about. In fact, you may have heard one of the cats... recently on a podcast only episode we called Interrupting Cat, because that's precisely what happened. That particular cat has a cancer and he's currently on his way out. And we're basically stopped doing treatment. We're letting him hang out around the house until he can't anymore. And then we're going to put him down. And this cat is part of Becky's support structure. So, as you might imagine, she's kind of bummed right now. So if you could just send her a hello note, I think she would probably appreciate it. And that's about as much as I'm willing to say about that without feeling really weird and self-conscious. So let's get to the news. How about that? As soon as I figure out where I put it. Yes, school districts in Central California sent home dozens of kids who weren't properly vaccinated by the start of the school year. Over 200 kindergartners and 7th graders were told they couldn't attend school until their vaccinations were up to date. A new law, which went into effect this summer, removed the religious and personal objection exemption for vaccination requirements for Californian students.
Yeah, I think this is actually a very good move. It does reek of government overreach if you come from a perspective of a libertarian, but the problem is we're talking about children that need this protection, and for that, I mean,
right,
I'm not gonna say like what about our children kind of thing, but seriously, I mean, these are at this stage of life, they need this protection.
Well, not only do they need this protection, but other people need this protection too. I mean, we can talk as much as we like about libertarian ideals and stuff like that, but the fact of the matter is, this is how disease works. Disease works within groups of people. And we were on a path to eradicating some diseases in the human population until somebody got it in their head that vaccines contain cancer and confetti or something like that. And so there's
autism.
Yeah, and
the
autism.
The dreaded autism.
Right, because
a dead child is better than an autistic
child. Yeah, because suffering from polio is way easier than autism.
Unfortunately, that's making a comeback at this point.
It is in some places.
Fortunately, not in America, but
right.
With our whole anti-vax stance, it is a potentiality that might actually make it come back.
Sure.
Eventually.
To say nothing of the geopolitical issues facing vaccination programs. But the fact of the matter is, we were in the United States, and specifically here on the Pacific Northwest, on board for eradicating certain diseases in the population, at least locally. And then this whole anti-vax movement started. Now all those diseases were making a big comeback. And you've got actual outbreaks, actual epidemics here in Washington, down in California, in Oregon. You have kids dying. And when you have kids dying for the purposes of your religious freedom, that's no longer merely a speech or a freedom to believe issue. That goes on. That's basically a form of coercion and a form of crime at that point. And I'm glad that this law went the way it is. Funny story. I actually was held back from school because of lack of vaccinations. Was not because of a any particular political or religious stance. I just hadn't been vaccinated. And then I went to school and say, hey, you got your vaccination paperwork? I'm like, no. Like, well, go away you go until you've got the vaccinations. Now, once we found out that was the case, we got that taken care of pretty much immediately.
Yeah, I could find that understandable. I mean,
yeah,
never had really paid attention to my vaccination schedule. So I mean,
right.
I wouldn't have been surprised if I was ever held back, but...
Yeah, it was surprising to find out a few years ago that I needed to get some of my vaccinations updated because they thought some that they thought would last the lifetime of the individual getting the vaccine. That turned out not to be the case. So I had to get revaccinated. Easy enough.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have trepidations about getting poked and prodded, but it's a necessity of life at this point if we want to actually eradicate some of the...
I'm not a big fan of needles myself.
I've never met a person that's a fan of needles.
I have.
Tattoo artists, the people that are tattoo freaks, maybe. Hmm. But I mean,
I know somebody who was into that, to the suspension thing, and needles had a different... Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's certainly not my deal, but...
Hanging from your back on a hook. That's
right.
Not,
you know. Right. But, again, it's a relative harm. Sure, I don't like getting poked with a needle, but the other side of that is I end up with some horrible flu that takes me out for several weeks. And so it just becomes a relative harm argument. You know, a minor needle thing here, which I barely feel, versus weeks and weeks of some serious issues. And given that my wife is a school teacher, I mean, any new fun disease that's discovered by school kids usually shows up at my door at some point. So I got to be careful.
Yeah, my experience is in military experience. Basically, they just said line up and then just bam, 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 bam. So it's just like right. 20 vaccinations at once. No big deal.
All done.
Probably like the more painful one was probably anthrax, but that was nothing.
But that's a fairly large needle, I'm told.
It's actually not as bad as they say. It hurts a little bit going in, but no, not too bad.
Yeah.
You get it like 6 times and you got the whole series.
Oh, it's multiple shots.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay. Like, it takes 3-4 years to get the full series.
Hmm. Yeah, I think this is a very good thing, and I really wish Washington State would adopt similar legislation. I really do.
Yeah, this whole, because of the consciousness of the parent that's uninformed, is not a very good reason not to vaccinate your children. I mean, germs don't care about your personal beliefs.
Pretty much. And, well, when it comes to this sort of thing... I don't either. Speaking of personal beliefs, are you ready for the fun one? Are you ready for the thing that we've been holding back on for a bit?
I am loving this.
Oh, boy.
Tears are going to taste good.
An anti-gay activist who has previously claimed that natural disasters are God's punishment for gay rights was forced to flee his home due to heavy flooding in Louisiana. Tony Perkins is the head of the Family Research Council, a group that lobbies against gay rights, abortion, and stem cell research. Perkins called a hurricane that struck Washington, D.C. God's wrath for legalizing same-sex marriage, but has not blamed the current flood on any anti-gay or on any gay rights issue. Perkins and his family say that they expect to live in a trailer for 6 months while the house is repaired. Given that he's the head of the Family Research Council, when he says living in a trailer, I mean, he's not thinking like a Winnebago or some small Airstream. It's probably going to be one of those, you know, 200 grand tour bus campers that have the same square footage as your average home.
No, his trailer is going to be like a quadruple wide at
right.
minimal.
Sure.
He's going to live large regardless of which. I mean, he's going to have all of his fans tithing to him to support
right.
him, and regardless of his rhetoric from, I mean, not to say that he's actually one of the people that said this, but I mean, he's of the ilk of the ones that attacked Wanda Sykes
right.
for living in Louisiana and blaming the flooding of Louisiana before
right.
on the gays like Wanda Sykes.
Well, every time we've had a major disaster in the United States, man-made or not, any major thing I can think of, I've heard people talk about 9/11 this way, definitely Katrina, actually Columbia, believe it or not, the shuttle Columbia, any major thing that happens that's bad, that's an American tragedy or whatever, you get some numbnuts coming up and saying that, hey, yeah, this is God's message to you about you need to change your ways. Never mind the hundreds of dead people. They can't change their ways anymore. They're dead. This is all about us. This is all about you, and you need to do what I say, blah, 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 statistically at some point. somebody like this was going to end up on the wrong side of one of these natural disasters. And while this may not be a named storm or anything like that, what's going on in Louisiana right now is really not a good thing.
No, it's pretty it's extremely awful what's going down in Louisiana. And in fact, my thoughts are with all Louisianians right now that are suffering through this horrendous
thoughts
situation.
Indeed. And if you're the kind of person who likes to give to a cause, as I have been and am, Foundation Beyond Belief right now is collecting money for relief there, for their humanist disaster recovery teams and things like that. So you can go to foundationbeyondbelief.org. I've already given, etc. So what does this guy say? Does this guy say this terrible thing that happened to me, that now that I am the apparent target of God's wrath, am I doing anything wrong? Do I need to change my ways?
No,
of course not.
Absolutely not.
What did he say?
I don't know. At this point, it's more mum's the word. He's more obfuscating the issue. Like, he's saying along the lines of, God works in mysterious ways, right, as usual. And so it's no longer about the great big evil, because obviously he's now indicted in that great big evil, because he's the one that suffered the consequences of said actions.
Right. Now that he's on the other side of it, the thing is completely different. He's moving into God is great, God is unknowable and immutable, or whatever. He's mumbling some stuff, but he's certainly not using the same shtick as he would normally. And because this is not a statement of belief. People who say these things, this is not their belief that's driving them. This is not their position as a religious person that's driving them. This is not even an ideological issue. And I very rarely take this stance. A lot of people, when they say this is a religious thing for them, I believe them. That doesn't mean they always get to do it, and that doesn't mean that they're right. But I believe them when they say this, that there's a religious stance. But in this case, when you start talking the God talk in order to hawk your particular wares in the context of a disaster, this is marketing and advertising. This is not religion. This guy probably doesn't believe it. This is all a method to get you to follow his way, so his fan club gets bigger and he gets more money every day, and he gets to tell more politicians what to do. This is nothing other than a power grab. And now that it's happening to him, suddenly all the marketing and advertising goes away, because he's got an actual crisis on his hands, which means in his case, when it's his crisis, he pays attention. When it's other people's crises, screw them.
Well, I mean, if it's not happening to you, why do you care?
Right.
But at this point, he's probably hoping that Affleck or whatever his insurance company is going to take care of him. He's not praying to God. He at this point, he's just making sure that he paid his home insurance.
Right.
And flood insurance, including that. I mean, other than that, he's not going to get any support except for his community.
Well, Family Research Council, you don't think they're going to bail him out?
I don't think they... I can't say anything, but I mean, honestly,
bailing out their big talkers is an old tradition among groups like this.
Yeah, no, you're probably right about
that.
I mean, they got to protect the brand. I guess that would be better than Affleck at this point.
Yeah, I suppose. Now, are you talking about Ben Affleck?
No, Affleck insurance. I'm
waiting for Batman to show up and start. Here we go.
I'm just throwing out an insurance company. So
no,
I
get
advertising
it now.
An insurance company.
I was really confused for a moment.
Ben Affleck has nothing to do with this.
Fair enough. This is Ask an Atheist.
He's Batman.
844-SKEPTIC, 844-753-7842. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we'll do another quick news story and an email. Let's see how this goes.
My name is Jonathan Ariola of TDTF Pod. The more voices you hear, the more we observe and feel, the more we learn about the other facets of this complex and wondrous beast that is humanism and free thought. Join me on the science-loving journey through topics like justice, murder, family, diligence, taste, history, society, race, boob jobs, law, addiction, video games, fear, sacrifice, children. Wait, not sacrificing children, that's not what I meant. Bring the popcorn and watch me break down the issues too deep, too fast. Join me at TDTF Pod. I'm Jonathan Ariola. Talk to you soon.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Dorn, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
Allegedly, soccer is a beautiful game.
It is when you know what's going on.
That's the problem. MLS is 20 years old, and people are still shocked to hear that there's an American Soccer League.
That's why you and I are talking about it. This is a discussion of American soccer for nerds and beginners. It's a good first step if a crippling soccer addiction is something that's missing from your life.
Join the club. Celebrate the 20th anniversary of MLS by actually following the season.
Hands-free football. New episodes every week at handsfreefootball.com. I want to bring it back, but it's more than basic.
Still not sick of it yet.
Not.
Welcome back.
Damn good song.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-Skeptic, 844-753-7842. Bit of a truncated show today, but like I said, a lot of stuff going on around here. And a lot of stuff going on around the world. We were talking about the flooding in Louisiana last segment, but we figured we'd stick with something else in Louisiana right now and talk about this. This should be fun. And I keep losing my place. A school district in Louisiana decided not to revise their pledge policy despite a complaint from church-state separation group. The Lafayette Parish School Board voted 8-1 against changing the language in the district policy that requires students to stand for the pledge even if they don't recite it. The policy was questioned after the district received a complaint letter from the Opinyani Humanist Legal Center about a student who was publicly reprimanded, sworn at, and threatened with punishment by a teacher for refusing to stand. More than one board member said they refused to change the district policy because saying the pledge daily is an important part of the students' lives.
Yeah, it's just amazing that they think this is going to fly. I mean,
right.
I think this is a good step for a good place for Andrew Seidel from FFRF to come step in and like just slap them with the big like.
Well, you've got the Opinyani Center on it, and they do good work too.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah. I think this is very interesting, and I think they kind of gave the whole game away. It's an important standing for the pledge daily is an important part of students' lives, even though they're not legally required to say it. They want to say they're legally required to give a pledge, and legally required, and why do they do it these days? Because it says under God in it. It's now become the Pledge of Allegiance is no longer about pledging allegiance to the United States. It's about pledging allegiance to God. And a very specific God. And if you disagree with that, you're made to stand out. And, you know, one way you stand out is by not doing what everybody else is doing at the time, because there's going to be a lot of people who just go along with it just to not cause a problem. So you're going to stand out that way. But then the district has to take it further. And how was this put? What were the things that were done? Publicly reprimanded, sworn at, and threatened with punishment. I'm reasonably certain that being sworn at by a person in authority in the educational process is not supposed to be something that's part of the student's daily life. So maybe they should, cut their losses on this one, because as far as I'm concerned, they don't have a leg to stand on. The courts have made it very clear they don't have a leg to stand on, and unless they want to count as another loss for religious people, then maybe they just let go and let this kid go.
Yeah, they absolutely need to cut the loss on this, because what's going to happen now is they're going to get a lawsuit slapped against them. It's going to become a legal fee.
Right.
And it's not going to cost the school board anything. Right. It's going to cost the school district money now.
Absolutely, because now they got to defend this because the school board, which likely have the educational understanding, training, and prowess of a box of Ritz crackers, just really don't know what they're doing, and now the district has to pay the price in Lafayette Parish, which probably is, you know, has more important things on its mind right now than doing the dirty work of this group of people.
It's interesting. It was 8-1 though, so I'm kind of surprised that it had that one vote for it.
Whenever I see an 8-1, I was like, all right, who's the one guy? Maybe it's the one person who's, well, you know, you get usually get somebody who's, well, I'm a Christian, I believe, and I think this is, but they have a right to do this. it's very rarely somebody who's like, yeah, woo. You know?
It's just at eight to one, it becomes very hard to be the one that actually stands out against the crowd. So I give kudos to that one.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Just unfortunately, the rest of the nine are wrong. They're incorrect in their stance, and they're going to cost the school district money, unfortunately.
That's usually how this works. That's actually a very interesting question. I wonder why. It's not like knowledge that the Pledge of Allegiance isn't required is not widely known. And it's not like legal centers like this, who fight for the rights of students, don't send a letter first saying, hey, you're in the wrong here, change it. And it's not like school districts don't have legal departments, or at least somebody on tap that they can go to talk to about this and ask what's up. And why are they standing their ground? I guess they just don't care. They get to see themselves as
martyrs.
Martyrs
and comfortable in their
renegades
position.
Of funk and whatever. And yeah, I mean, boring.
Yeah, it's really terrible though that the kid was sworn at, punished, and they feel justified in actually continuing this action.
I think they lose on that alone.
Yeah, unequivocally. They have to.
Well, no, they might not make it out of the legal situation with that. If this is how the school deals with kids who, you know, refuse to do things like this, it's going to be a very difficult thing. It's going to be even harder for them to defend than it already is. I get a sense that this one may actually end with a negotiation with the kid involved. I just have that feeling.
Yeah, the problem though with that though is if it's like a settlement, then it doesn't change anything.
Well, the law here, well, as part of the settlement, it's usually don't do that anymore. It's not like we're looking for a change in law here. The law already says is not a requirement.
Right. The law is absolutely on the kid's side in this case.
Right.
A settlement would be awesome, but the thing is the problem with settlements is usually they'll close certain aspects of the settlement out.
Right.
Of public discourse, so that way it can't be used as precedence later. But of course, this is a child that shouldn't have to be put through this stuff anyway. So
indeed. All right, we got one more email, and then I think we'll call it a day. This is Tony from Facebook, who writes about the paradox of the burden of proof. From our subjective perspective, either some higher-level creative intelligence is responsible for existence or not. There is currently no known, objectively verifiable, scientifically reproducible, peer-reviewed evidence sufficiently leading to proof that either is the objective truth. It is a choice to believe one or the other is the truth. Whichever you choose, you are using the concept of faith. Faith is belief without proof. Objectively speaking, only one is the truth, and our subjectively formulated opinions, or lack thereof, have no effect on that objective truth. Such is nature, beauty, and the glory of the truth. He is perfect and unbreakable.
Sam, didn't you have a bun for this at one point?
I believe I do. And I believe it goes a little bit like this.
Pascal's wager assumes a false equivalence.
Because believe it or not, this is Pascal's wager. And I'm tired of answering Pascal's wager. However, there's a lot more here, and I like that here. So here, let's talk about this first and foremost. I don't think there's any way and Tony from Facebook is right on this one. I really don't. So I'm just going to tear it down and take it from the top, and then we'll call it. From our subjective perspective, either some higher level creative intelligence is responsible for our existence or not. False dichotomy. Well, not necessarily a false dichotomy. That statement alone is not a false dichotomy. But this writer makes it very clear in further sentences that he's advocating that it's either some God create creature, like some basically Christian style God, or nothing created the universe, as I believe. And actually, I don't even believe that. I don't know. But we'll get to that in a minute. As he suggests, I believe, is what I should say. And that's a false dichotomy. I've had recent debates with people on the Facebook wall, which I really don't care to get into, is there are other options here. There are other opportunities. Maybe the universe was created by some living entity who creates universes as a matter of digestion, as if we are, you know, the excrement of some cosmic entity. Or if it created the universe intentionally, but for some other process than intentional creation. It's like the way a bee creates hives or that sort of thing.
We're pretty much deistic gut rot.
Right. Deistic gut rot. That's a fantastic statement. It's like there's a huge spectrum of ways that an entity could have created the universe if you're willing to look a little bit outside of Grandpa God created the universe because he loves me so much. But because that's what you started with, you're working backwards and you lose so much of what the debate could otherwise be. Continuing, there is currently no publicly known, objectively verifiable, scientifically reproducible, peer-reviewed evidence sufficiently leading to proof that either is the objective truth.
That is the argument of ignorance.
I mean,
that's definitionally speaking, I cannot think of a better thing. So it must be this thing that I am espousing. That absolutely is.
This in a vacuum, the statement is true. And this leads to a thing that we've said on the show, which is the epistemological position. We're atheists by behavior. We are atheists by our knowledge, but by belief, we're agnostic. I literally don't know what created the universe. There is no scientific consensus on it. I certainly haven't gone out myself and looked. Therefore, I don't know. I mean, I don't own a spaceship. Do you own a spaceship?
Mine's in the shop.
Ah, dang.
It's been in the shop for a long time now, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, then we could solve this. That'd be so much easier. No, you're wrong. We're going to hop on our warp-capable craft and go get this thing solved. It is a choice to believe one or the other is the truth. Okay, that's true. But this is also a narrowing of options, which is what you were talking about earlier.
Basically, I mean, he's shifting the burden of proof.
Well, this whole thing is a shifting. Yeah, that's the whole point of this exercise.
By
right?
arguing that the shift of proof was unruly, justified in the wrong way, he's right. Trying to sit there and espouse the fact that basically it's a 50-50 proposition.
Right. It's a 50-50 proposition.
It's a coin flip. It's either or, and it must be that because otherwise, it doesn't make sense that this just happened.
Whichever you choose, you are using the concept of faith. Faith is belief without proof. No, wrong. Wrong again. Completely wrong. You misunderstand me. And you're never going to get anywhere with me if you continue to insist that this is how I act. I hate to go to the logical fallacies page on this one, but If you continue to hold up the simulacrum of how you think I believe and demand that I conform to your model rather than the model that I actually stand by and believe in, and you don't even and you just ignore me and continue to demand that I play by this model, you're never going to get anywhere with me, and you're never going to get anywhere in the realm of actual debate. This is crap. The fact of the matter is, I don't believe in anything. I have no idea on this one. I when evidence comes in, I will change my mind. But from a statement of belief, I am agnostic. I do not know. And I claim at the outset that I do not know. But the fact of the matter is, agnosticism leads to two separate paths of behavior. One is to believe, or one is to behave as if there is no God, which is what everybody does anyway. And the other side of that is to behave as if any potential God exists. And that's a really hard thing to do. I mean, how do you stay vegetarian when one potential God believes killing animals is wrong? And how do you eat only meat when another potential God believes killing vegetables is wrong? It's like there's no way to exist that way. So my behavior is atheist, and I call myself an atheist, and that's the way I am. But if you're asking me what I believe, if you're asking me from an epistemological basis, I am an agnostic. Not everybody acts that way. Some people make the strong atheism, weak atheism debate. Now we're making statements of evidence that I don't quite believe in. Sometimes I go a little bit further and say that the gods that most humans generally believe, there is evidence to suggest that they don't exist, like the Christian God and the Muslim God and all that stuff.
Yeah, basically, if you're putting out a proposal and you can't support that proposal with any evidence, at that point, you are basically giving, just saying, like, I just pure faith. I mean, right. I actually do agree with the definition that he does use, because when faith gets used, it usually is faith is belief without proof.
There's more to it than that.
There's absolutely more than that. He's wrong about the next part, but...
I think he's wrong with the first part, because I honestly think faith, the way faith is generally presented, is that it's the belief in things regardless of proof, whether proof exists or not.
Actually,
faith is believing in something no matter what anybody says, no matter what the evidence is. Faith is belief in something completely orthogonal from evidence, proof, or empiricism.
Actually, you do have me there, because that pastor obviously has faith that God was on his side, even though he flooded his house.
Right. Objectively speaking, only one is the truth, and our subjectively formulated opinions or lack thereof have no effect on that objective truth. Well, unsubstantiated. What if we live in the kind of universe where our ideas do make reality? Woo, we're hippies. I mean, it's entirely possible. Well, not really, but...
Yeah, I mean, what if The Secret is actually a documentary? I mean,
right.
It's sold millions of books, so it must be true.
But here's where he gives the whole game away. Such is the nature, beauty, and glory of the truth. He is perfect and unbreakable. He uses a capital H. You know what this means. He's a Christian, and he's trying to argue in... He's trying to prove his superiority by arguing using our terms. He doesn't stand by these terms. This guy, Tony, doesn't stand by the knowledge that he's speaking of. He doesn't talk about faith. He doesn't actually believe in faith the way he presents his argument here. He doesn't believe in any of this crap. He's just saying it because he believes this is what's going to get us to march to his tune. But he doesn't need any of this. He doesn't believe in any of this. This doesn't drive him. And so there's no point in him understanding any of it. To him, this paragraph is just yet another magic word.
Yeah, it's just apologetics. I mean, apologetics.
No, apologetics actually requires some logic. This is worse. This is just magical incantations to make people who think into people who don't.
I didn't say it was good in apologetics. I'm just saying this is something that you use to convince yourself, not to actually convince other people.
He's made it very clear he's already convinced. I'm going to take him at his word here that, you know, even though he doesn't quite come out and say it, but he believes that he is perfect. Tony believes that he, capital H, is perfect and unbreakable. Now, it could be Jesus, it could be Cthulhu, it could be anything, but he's already basically said this as a statement of faith, and that statement of faith basically nullifies anything he already said. He basically advocates for epistemological agnosticism. He's basically saying choosing one side or the other is a fool's gambit, so don't do it, but then says he is perfect and unchangeable.
Yeah, I would say he's more Gnostic about it. I mean, I think he's trying to sit there. He absolutely say he knows exactly what there is. So,
right.
Gnosticism, because he's saying that he absolutely knows for a fact that he's...
Are you talking like Gnostic in that he gets like information via some other channel?
No, I'm talking Gnostic as in absolute knowledge. I'm talking as like the concept of Gnosticism where you absolutely know, you cannot be proven
right,
wrong.
Right, so no pink lasers involved or nothing like that then. Oh, okay. Yeah, so I really don't like these arguments a lot, because the person arguing it doesn't buy into it. So how well, if you're going to try and convince me, and I don't mean formal debate for the purposes of debate, like when I was doing debate in high school, I had to write position papers for each side of every bill I wrote, but that's one thing. That's judging the performance and stuff like that. This is a guy who's apparently trying to really change our minds. Otherwise, why would he go out of his way and post this on our Facebook wall? But he doesn't believe it. And if he doesn't believe it, what's the point?
It basically comes down to, hey, Tony, if you're listening to this, give us your best evidence. Not faith statement, not just an absolute assertion.
He won't do it. Because he's
going to challenge him to do it regardless of which. I'm giving him the chance. Give us your best evidence.
There are people who will do that. There are people who will at least try or at least make a deal that evidence.
Which would be great. I would love that.
Okay. Hang on.
Okay.
This is not one of those guys. This guy doesn't need evidence. He doesn't believe in evidence. He doesn't care about evidence. He's starting with a premise and working backwards the whole way. And he gives the whole game away right away.
I agree with that.
So why are you expecting evidence from somebody who doesn't care about
it? I'm absolutely not expecting it.
But you're still asking him to do that.
Yeah, of course.
It's a waste of time. What's the point?
Just a challenge to throw out there. Hey, Tony, you got the goods, man. Show me the goods.
I would do it a little bit differently. I would say throw away the fake crap you use for the plebs. Do me a favor and tell me what you believe and try to convince me on your terms rather than on terms you've adopted because you think they'll magically change people's minds.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
My whole argument is just be real. Please be real.
Yeah. No, I mean... Now, my question is, did you guys edit this or did it actually come out this way? Because this is actually very well written.
No, I...
Did you have to clean it up?
I did not post... I actually wasn't going to talk about this at all because, believe as heated as I'm sounding, this is a bit of a performance. I do recall this comment being very well written.
That's interesting because usually these come in like very, very badly formatted. So, I mean, honestly, with that given, I mean, Tony, please, sir, if you email Ask an Atheist, I will respond back because I am very interested in an actual good cogent argument.
Yeah. And that is the thing is it is well written. All right. It's 2016. I've been doing this a while. The first thought that comes into my head when I see something that's well written, it came from somewhere else. He's copy and pasting from Conservapedia or something. However, I have been wrong on that and I like it when I'm wrong. So this time I'm assuming that this guy is writing for himself. How's that?
Yeah.
But I mean, I got to be honest about how I feel.
If Tony, I mean, absolutely. It could definitely be copy-pasted.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not, Tony, please, sir.
Yeah.
Let's continue the conversation.
I just... Okay, you can have that conversation. You have that conversation. Leave me out of it. Unless...
I will just use your show as a platform to continue this
fantastic.
Conversation.
Fantastic. You continue that conversation. You come back to us and tell me what happens. Because there's a reason I've got a Pascal's Wager button on my board. It's because this isn't a show about this sort of thing.
That is true.
And not only that, but if it were to be, I would have dispensed with Pascal's Wager long ago. Because it's a really crap argument.
No, it's an absolute bad argument. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a Shazbot argument. Yes, indeed. And on that note, I think that's all the time we've got for today. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv, email us at questions@askanatheist.tv, Twitter us at askanatheistwa. Thanks very much, Josh, for coming in last minute and sitting down with me for a little while.
You're welcome.
I do like it when we disagree. I do. Catch you guys next week.